I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Even the media is trashing Harris's town hall as a total disaster. You know, you've lost the media, you've lost a lot. And Trump is going to speak in Arizona soon. He says he might even consider pardoning Hunter Biden. Wow. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210. We are streaming live on YouTube. Sorry for the technical difficulties earlier, but we are streaming live on YouTube right now. And I want to tell you, mark November 13th. Hold the date. Can't tell you why just yet, but trust me on this. You will want to hold the date. All right? Good. Make sure you do that. Yes, I'm looking at everything right now and how Kamala Harris's kids in cages lie paved the way for a child trafficking crisis in America. Kamala Harris. Oh, and you know, Kevin from Bucks called up to remind us that in addition to her saying she wanted to ban fracking as the Attorney General of California, she sued the Biden administration over fracking. So she's totally lying over this issue. No question about it. But when she was in the Senate, Kamala Harris, she pursued policies that put children at risk of being human trafficked, right? So, you know, earlier when I was saying how she was Attorney General, and then I said, all right, but she didn't win a statewide election. She's a senator Republican, a senator governor. What I meant by that was, because obviously she was a senator, was she didn't, you're California, you're not running against a Republican. It's not a real election. The way it works in California, basically, is like the top two people run against each other. It's kind of a joke. You get the nomination, then you're going to win, right? I mean, obviously, you're the Democrat Senate nominee in California. You're going to beat the Republican, and that's kind of how it works. The party insiders have always controlled Kamala Harris's fate. So Kamala Harris was the attorney general, or she was the district attorney, attorney general. This is where Willie Brown's help. She gets to become the United States senator, runs for president, and is a disaster in that primary, a disaster. So she's never actually had to face a strong Republican challenger in an election. She's never been able to. She can't go back to that and say, like, hey, I won this really tough race against a Republican. You know, I battled this out and it was really tough. It's California. It's blue California. You win statewide when you're the Democrat nominee. It's how it works. And the party insiders controlled her fate to get her to be the nominee for attorney general and for Senate. She had the blessing of Willie Brown's political machine from very early on, from being his girlfriend. And when she ran for president, she had no support in the Democrat Party. So you got to say to yourself, well, I mean, how is anybody surprised here that Kamala was such a terrible candidate? And what she was never able to do was to go mano a mano, or woman a woman, against a Republican and beat that person in a really competitive race. And now she's floundering against Donald Trump, In the waning days of the campaign, Vice President Kamala Harris is now trotting out old talking points that Donald Trump separates migrant families and puts kids in cages. But mounting evidence shows that Harris was instrumental in forging a status quo where migrant children are incentivized to cross the border alone and then placed with unrelated sponsors, many of whom traffic and otherwise exploit the vulnerable youth. In October, in a town hall on the Spanish language network Univision, Harris highlighted what she called Trump's cruel family separation policy, saying if Trump is reelected, he would rip families apart. But the Biden-Harris administration did away with a lot of things, including, and this is amazing to me, DNA testing that the Trump administration put in place to ensure that adults who were taking the minors were actually related to them. Now, look, obviously, there's other ways to prove this besides DNA. I mean, I have two kids who are adopted, so the DNA wouldn't match up. And they had different ways they could do that, too. But they did away with those things. So you have now a situation where you've got hundreds of thousands of kids who are gone. In a Pulitzer Prize winning series, the New York Times unearthed internal government data that showed that one third of the cases Sponsors could not or would not tell the government where the child was 30 days later. At the time, 85,000 children were unaccounted for. And the number has likely grown since then. In fiscal year 2012, 14,000 minors were referred to unaccompanied alien children program in 2019. And the numbers just kept going up and kept going up and kept going up. Because this administration has enabled not only the open border crisis, but the missing children crisis, too. And the reports of trafficking and abuse of migrant children, calls to HHS, to Homeland Security, reporting trafficking, neglect, or abuse of minors placed with sponsors, has skyrocketed in the Biden administration years. Now, it's gone down a little bit in 2022, but in 2021, it was at the highest level ever. Actually, I'm sorry, in 2022, it is still the highest level ever. At this point right now, I don't have the 2023 data. Fewer than 40% of unaccompanied minors are turned over to parents, while the remainder go to relatives or unrelated sponsors. But particularly the lack of DNA testing makes it impossible to verify whether those recorded as relatives are actually related. On Thursday, Senator Chuck Grassley wrote to the HHS secretary, the Biden administration had failed to provide legally required annual reports on refugee resettlement for, ready, 2021, 2022, and 2023. President Biden and Vice President Harris have left Congress in the dark for the entirety of the administration and lost track of tens of thousands of vulnerable migrant children in the process. They've also refused to cooperate with subpoenas in a child sex trafficking investigation that was done based on information from agency whistleblowers. By the way, the Los Angeles DA has recommended that the Menendez brothers, who were convicted of killing their parents, will be resentenced. And that is what the district attorney, George Gascon of Los Angeles, is now saying right now. Sure, we can jump in and take a quick listen to that. Sure. It's breaking news here.
The teams that have worked on this, on the resentencing side of it, have spent literally probably hundreds of hours by now looking at this case. These cases were originally presented on the habeas side of it, which I'll explain in a moment what that is, last year. And then the request for prosecutor-initiated resentencing occur earlier this year. And there have been people in this office working in these cases from the very beginning, as well as many other cases that we have. The reason why I'm here today and why I came in front of all of you about 10 days ago is because there was a more recent documentary about the case that again brought a tremendous amount of public attention. And we know there have been other documentaries, so this is not the first. This is a more recent one. And frankly, our office got flooded with requests for information. And even though this case was already scheduled to be heard in late November, I decided to move this forward because, quite frankly, we did not have enough resources to handle all the requests. And one of the things that I thrive to do in this office is to be very transparent in everything that we do. In this case, we review the prison files. And you have to understand that the way the process works, when you're talking about a sentence, a resentencing under the law,
I'm going to jump out of this. This might go on for a while, but he's recommending resentencing here for the Menendez brothers. The documentary he's talking about, or the show, is a Netflix special, which actually I have not watched it. But from what I understand, the theory behind the Netflix show is that these two were actually having some sort of an incestuous relationship, and that's why they killed their parents. But a bunch of family members came forward and said, no, they were being abused. And that's why now he's recommending this resentencing right now. But this could go on for a while, and I don't, and he's kind of a boring speaker. So anyway, we'll give you all the details as it comes out. You remember yesterday on the show, I played for you a clip of Tim Walz talking about libertarians. And he was talking to John Stewart about this, and he brought up Dick Cheney. And even John Stewart mocked him for this. Even John Stewart mocked him. He's like, Cheney? You're using Cheney and Taylor Swift in the same sentence? Tim Walz doesn't really get libertarians. Robbie Suave over at Reason had a great piece on all this. You know, if you want more If you look at what Tim Walz has stood for throughout his career, he's a guy who during COVID, of course, had a hotline for you to rat out your neighbors. You know, if they had 11 people or 12 people over at their house, he's a guy who also said free speech is not absolute, that there should be bans on hate speech. There should be bans also on what he says is disinformation. No libertarians like those ideas, but he said he would be appealing to libertarians then by having the Cheneys backing Kamala Harris and him. Stewart, to his credit, is deeply suspicious of the Cheneys as a principal voice of opposition to the Iraq war and the foreign policy mistakes of the Bush administration. John Stewart has relentlessly criticized the Cheneys family's influence over the Republican Party. And they broke with Trump, obviously, over 2020. During the conversation with Walz, John Stewart asked the vice presidential candidate why the campaign thought it was such a good idea to lean on Cheney to make an affirmative case for Harris. And he said, and this is what's amazing, he said, there's still the core group of folks out there that don't tread on me, the Reagan piece of this, the libertarian piece, the constitutional piece. There are a lot of people out there. I think Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney give permission to those people who want to find a reason to do the right thing. Do you think if you're a libertarian or a constitutionalist or even you're a Reagan kind of person, you like Dick Cheney's ideas? Dick Cheney's tenure as vice president was marked by a massive expansion of federal power, including the Patriot Act, which was opposed by, of course, obviously, Ron Paul, Senator Rand Paul's father. Senator Rand Paul also opposed it, obviously. And they clashed with the Cheneys over this. Tom Massie clashed with the Cheneys over the Patriot Act and the spying on American citizens. In fact, Senator Rand Paul slammed Cheney and George W. Bush in 2014 for emboldening terrorism worldwide by launching regime-changing wars that destabilized the Middle East. And Senator Rand Paul said that Cheney-esque policies had turned Iraq and Libya into, and I quote, jihadist wonderlands. Which sounds like a fun place to take your family on Thanksgiving break. But I have a better idea for you. Take them to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Jihadist Wonderlands book up very, very quickly. But the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey is where you should think about taking the kids this Thanksgiving break. Let Hemingway's do all the cooking and cleaning so you can just enjoy your time in the heated pool and get away from it all. Just go to my happy place, GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And remember, we'll be back there on December 20th. For our next live show. And thanks to the Grand Hotel for sponsoring our happy hour. If Rand Paul vouched for Kamala Harris, it might theoretically persuade some libertarians to vote for her. For her part, Paul has maintained that he prefers Trump to Harris, but is unenthusiastic about the former president, given Trump's broken promises on reining in spending. However, Rand Paul really loves Donald Trump's foreign policies. Liz Cheney's support for Harris, on the other hand, is essentially a negative endorsement. And remember, Senator Rand Paul also came out and said about said about Kamala Harris that she would be an authoritarian who would keep all of the executive powers in place that continue to control everything in this government, because Congress doesn't pass laws anymore. It's all dictated by the executive branch of government. But I still have to say, that is one of the most amazing things to me, that Tim Walz sat there and said, libertarians, constitutionalists, Reagan-loving, don't-tread-on-me types, like the Cheneys. The war on terror, the biggest expansion of government in the wake of 9/11 with the expansion of Homeland Security, which also took the Secret Service away from the Treasury Department and gave us the family-friendly, groping Transportation Security Administration. And also the spying of American citizens, the metadata gathering, and the war in Iraq. But somehow, libertarians, constitutionalists, even though all those things that I just mentioned are unconstitutional, I mean, Dick Cheney was the mastermind of destroying the Fourth Amendment in this country. He had a lot of help, but he was the guy behind it. And, you know, back then, a lot of conservatives were defending this. Hey, if you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. But this was a guy who said, we'll listen to your phone calls, we'll monitor your emails, we'll know what you're doing. You check out a book from the library. The government has access to that. That's the Patriot Act for you, championed by Dick Cheney. And Liz Cheney would go right along with that, all those things. So no, I don't think that the Cheneys are going to bring over the libertarians, the constitutional conservatives, or the Reagan-loving "don't tread on me" types. But hey, if you are one of those and you disagree and you think the Cheneys are the secret sauce, will you please let me know? 855-839-1210, or you can certainly tweet, or you can join in our YouTube chat and you can let me know. Here's Wisconsin Republican Senate nominee Eric Hovde reacting to Tammy Baldwin, who's running for re-election in Wisconsin as a Democrat, putting President Trump in her ad, something that we've seen the lesser Casey do here in Pennsylvania, and something that we've also seen now from the Democrat candidate in Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin, who's also trying to basically run away from Kamala Harris. But you need to know that Tammy Baldwin had horrible things to say about Donald Trump, but she knows that Donald Trump is doing really, really well in Wisconsin, and she doesn't want to lose her U.S. Senate seat. Wisconsin is a swing state. It is a state that I think Trump can win, along with Michigan, along with Pennsylvania. And then goodbye this phony blue wall argument, because I don't believe these are blue wall states at all. Cut 25.
Tammy Baldwin got President Trump to sign her Made in America bill.
And then she got President Biden to make it permanent.
I'm Tammy Baldwin. I approve this message.
Your reaction, Eric.
It's laughable. First of all, that was an executive action by President Trump. She had nothing to do with it. Number two, she called President Trump one of the most dangerous men, offensive men with a dark soul. She is the biggest resistor against President Trump. She voted with Joe Biden, on the other hand, 95.5% of the time. So it's just her desperate attempt to try to take off some votes. It's not going to work.
So
we're going to win Wisconsin, and we're going to both President Trump and I are going to win Wisconsin.
Yeah, I agree. I think so, too. But isn't it telling all these Democrats who are running away from Kamala Harris? Oh, yeah. And they're worried about losing North Carolina, and they're worried about losing Michigan. Panicked Harris staffers leaking concerns about losing these states. Oof. It's almost sad at this point to watch. It really is. It's a little bit awkward. It's kind of awkward. But you know what else is awkward? Listening to Bill Clinton describe Kerry Lake. That's really awkward. This guy makes everything awkward. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, you know, maybe keep that on the inside. Here's creepy Bill Clinton, cut 27.
Running against someone who is physically attractive but believes that politics is a performance art.
But she's physically attractive, am I right? Huh? But she's physically attractive. Just saying.
Bill Clinton will hit on anyone. Kennedy, at her funeral, Kerry Lake, a political opponent. It doesn't matter to Bill Clinton.
It doesn't matter. He'll make every situation awkward. Every single situation awkward, right?
It's amazing. Every single time he speaks, he says something strange.
I mean, she's hot, right? But that's not what this election's about. and he's old creepy now, too. Like, when he was younger creepy, but now he's old creepy, so he sounds like the kind of guy that you would not want a kid sitting on his lap creepy. You know what I mean? That's what it
yeah,
sounds
saying,
like to me.
When he's younger, you could argue perhaps it was a little bit charming. It isn't. There's no argument for charming now. Not at all. It's
no.
Just strange. Well, he keeps saying just inappropriate stuff every single time he speaks. I don't understand why the Harris campaign keeps sending him out there. He's not doing her any favors.
No, last time he talked about how Lake and Riley's dead because of the Biden administration. Now he's going out there and hitting on Kerry Lake. I mean...
He also said that Kamala was extremely vulnerable while he was on the campaign trail.
Yes, we have
today.
That clip as well. We played it earlier in the show, but why not play it again? What the heck? Just to remind everybody, this is what he said. Cut number three. Nothing like sending a surrogate out there to let everybody know that he even thinks that you're going to lose.
But about 45% of the people think he can do no wrong, and they don't care if we save our democracy or not. So there is a sliver there that has to make up their mind. And to them, Kamala Harris just showed up. I mean, she was there as vice president, and what they think of her largely depends on what they think of President Biden, but she is extremely vulnerable, more vulnerable than she deserves to be, through crazy attacks. So they've been thinking, the Republicans, all this time, how can we go on the attack?
All the time, how can we go on the attack? Or she's vulnerable, meaning that she's losing, is what that means. But they're hoping that the John Kelly story will be the October surprise. Now, as far as October surprises go, worst October surprise ever. Not only did you have the former chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence, who's really not a fan of Trump, come out and say it's complete BS. The other part of the story where they say Trump stiffed the family over paying for that woman's burial, the sister of the woman who died came out and said, Trump is great. I'm voting for him. And it's a shame that you are lying about this and using my sister's death here for political purposes. Worst October surprise ever. But that did not stop the unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos. In fact, ABC's Good Morning America this morning, this is amazing. They went on over 10 minutes and 28 seconds to be exact, eagerly touting as fact wild claims from former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly that Donald Trump is a fascist, danger to democracy and the American people, and enthralled with Adolf Hitler. They spent 10 minutes and 28 seconds on this on ABC's Good Morning America with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. No relation, by the way, to the creepy guy who hit on Carrie Lake. No, not the same George Stephanopoulos. There was a guy named George Stephanopoulos who was the communications director for that creepy guy, Bill Clinton. But it's very, very sad. He choked on something at Toss Salad World. Did you know that? Toss Salad World, he actually had a cucumber, or maybe it was Jihadist World, I forget. Terrible death, tragic. They did not wash the salad greens at Toss Salad Land, and E. coli. Got him. That's what it was. So this George Stephanopoulos, totally different guy. This is an unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos. What was Axelrod's exact... Oh, Word Salad City. Yeah, that's what happened. Communications director for Bill Clinton, then one day driving and said, oh, Word Salad City, I've been dying to try this place. Walked in, ordered the special. Never ordered the special. Died. So then this family named George Stephanopoulos after that George Stephanopoulos. So no relation here to the unbiased journalist. Take a listen.
We have some truly extraordinary breaking news this morning, Robin. Retired Marine General John Kelly. He was Trump's longest serving chief of staff. And he is speaking out right now with things we have never heard before from someone who has served a president. He says Donald Trump fits the definition of a fascist. He says that Donald Trump praised Adolf Hitler, demeaned American war heroes, calls Donald Trump a man who would govern like a dictator if allowed.
And George, this comes as more billionaires are entering the race, donating millions, including reportedly Bill Gates. Our team is covering both campaigns and all the angles this morning.
We're going to start with the latest. I love it. They just go right over to it, and he just lets it get out there and hang out there just like that. The first George Stephanopoulos choked on a chickpea, Matt DeSantis. Never get chickpeas on your salad at Word Salad City, just so you know. You know, Word Salad City and Party City are right next to each other. I don't know if you know that or not. You get a discount if you shop at both.
I've heard nothing but good things about Word Salad City. Been dying to check it out.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's great.
Delicious.
I think our stream's working again. We did lose a lot of people who were watching the stream, so our numbers today are a little bit lower than normal, and I wish they would come back, but it's okay. As long as you're still listening, that's what really counts. I got a little chat going, but I think Jimmy Matthews annoys everybody on the chat. Jimmy, are you annoying everybody again? Is that what it is? Can you please stop doing that? Come on, be nice. All right, be nice. Stop. Gary Stam said, I look marvelous. Thank you. Very, very nice. I appreciate that. All right, good. Choked on a chickpea. Chickpeas are gross, aren't they? Who puts those things in a salad anyway? Huh? They're terrible.
That's falafel, though.
Yeah, I do like falafel, but that's because it's deep fried. And that's the only reason why you like it, Matt DeSantis, because you don't like anything healthy.
No. Chickpea without the assistance of the deep fryer, totally out on. I want to be clear on that. But once you've introduced the deep fryer, I'm totally in. Deep fry anything, yeah. And I'll eat it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I will do that as well. Deep fried Twinkie? Just want to clarify.
pause made me nervous.
I was just saying, since
you're really flirting with that dump button today.
Oh, it's a delicious pastry. I guess you had to be here. All right. It's awful. Just terrible. The regime media also promoted the new John Kelly allegations against Trump, with White House correspondent Mary Bruce from ABC going all in on this, of course, as exactly like you'd expect them to do. Cut 22.
Good evening, and we begin tonight with this new warning. With just 13 days to the election, the retired four-star Marine general, who was former President Donald Trump's longest-serving chief of staff, retired General John Kelly, warning that if Trump is elected again, he would rule like a dictator. And Kelly describing in detail what Trump said about Hitler on a number of occasions. You will hear the audio of General Kelly right here tonight. Vice President Kamala Harris coming before the cameras this afternoon, calling Trump's alleged comments about Hitler, quote, deeply troubling and incredibly dangerous. As a retired four-star general, General Kelly does not make political endorsements, but he says he felt compelled to speak out after Trump repeatedly threatened to use the American military against the, quote, enemy within, Americans in this country. At a town hall event in Georgia, Donald Trump made no mention of Kelly's comment today, but tonight Donald Trump posting just moments ago that the general is a lowlife who made up a story. Tonight, General John Kelly, in his interview with the New York Times, signaling voters should consider fitness and character when voting for president this year. We have both campaigns covered. Mary Bruce leading us off with the vice president.
Let me just jump in here for a second. Let me just jump in here and say this. Do you realize that John Kelly's allegations are not backed up by anybody, right? Just think about this now for a second. Just contrast this. However, if you bring up the allegations against Doug Emhoff that he might have beat up a girl, if you bring up those allegations, they freak out. So John Kelly goes, oh, yeah, he praised Hitler. And everybody goes, well, then that's gospel. John Kelly said it, therefore, let's run with it. It's an allegation. The woman comes forward and says Doug Emhoff beat the crap out of her. The story is written in the Daily Mail about this. Scott Jennings brings this up, and the CNN panel freaks out on him. So you're not allowed. You're not allowed, you see, to bring up allegations against Doug Emhoff, the first or second gentleman. But with Trump, it's fair game. This is the total double standard I want you to realize right now. And I've got the audio for you. Cut 16.
Got to tell you, this campaign is so everything that's said about Donald Trump and his treatment of women and the gender gap in this campaign. This rapper, who I fully admit sold a lot of records, if you've read some of the things he has said about the promotion of domestic violence.
No. What he said if you're famous, Bakari, you can grab him by the...
Bakari, I listened to your entire filibuster. If you could just give me 13 seconds.
I'll give you 12, because he said grab him by the...
And so when you think about the things he has said in order to sell those records, and you also consider some of the questions that are swirling around Harris's own husband in this regard.
Oh, my God. You don't even get 12 seconds. I'm not going to let you go into the far end of BS.
I can't
represent you in the defamation case.
And we're going to stop here for a second.
This is what I don't understand, though. Why is it defamation if somebody says that about Doug Emhoff? John Kelly, who has a long history of trashing Trump and is trying to sell a book, gets to say this, and then that's perfectly fine. I don't understand. Either you're a public figure and you can be exposed by people for allegations, or no, it's totally off limits and you're going to get sued for defamation. Along those lines, then can't Trump sue John Kelly for defamation? Well, I thought not, because he's a public figure running for office. But Doug Emhoff, they say, well, he's a private citizen. That's the difference. Oh, stop it. You're not a private citizen. You're a public figure. When you get on that stage and you endorse your wife for president, which is totally fine, and you give a speech at the Democratic National Convention, and you do that whole goofy, it's Doug. Hey, it's Doug. And you come across like a total goofball. Guess what, pal? You're no longer a private citizen. And then there's the allegation that Kelly once shoved Trump's daughter, Ivanka, in the West Wing. The allegation was made in Jared Kushner's memoir, when he wrote Kelly had a Jekyll and Hyde personality. Kushner wrote that Kelly was angry with Trump one day and shoved Ivanka out of his way when she said hello. Kushner said Kelly later apologized to Ivanka. Ivanka confirmed the report, and her former chief of staff confirmed the apology. though Kelly denies either event ever took place. Well, I trust Jared, and I trust Ivanka. I don't trust him. I know those two. They're good people. I trust them. And he said it was inconceivable that he would ever do that. He has a long history. Daily Wire is a great piece about this. John Kelly's long history of anti-Trump activism and smears. All right, listen. Dr. Mike Veneria is a great guy and a great friend, and he is the master of dental implants. For 12 years, 12 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been recognized among his peers as a master of implant dentistry. Complicated dentistry, complicated stuff. So if you need a new smile, can I ask you a question? What are you waiting for? Go see my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. And do me a favor and mark your calendar for Saturday, November 9th. It is going to be his Veterans Breakfast and Community Shredding event. That's right. He honors the veterans every year. You come out for some bagels, some coffee, some donuts, even some breakfast pizza. And you can say thank you to our veterans and bring all those documents you want shredded. It's going to be at his Cinnaminson office on Riverton Road. But he also has an office in Woodbury. So wherever you are, Dr. Mike Veneria has a location close by. And he truly is the best, and he's our family's dentist as well. And Mama Zioli discovered him for our family, and I appreciate that she did. That's why we all go to Dr. Mike. If you've had an estimate for complicated dental work, please get a second opinion with my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. You'll love his staff. You'll love the music that plays in his office. Just really good people. You'll get a free implant consultation, and Dr. Mike will make sure that you have the beautiful smile that you deserve, because you do deserve it, and you only get one smile in this life. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, we'll get some relief. It's almost over. The election's almost here. Don't worry, it's almost over. But in the meantime, former and future President Donald Trump is speaking right now in Arizona. Just before I dip into this, remember, Bill Clinton thinks Carrie Lake is hot. Just wanted to remind you of that in case you forgot, okay? I'll probably keep reminding you about that throughout the end of the show because I just absolutely love it so much. Before I do that, let me just say the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the master of dental implants. And mark your calendar for November 13th. I can't tell you yet what it is, but trust me, you're going to want to join whatever it is that I can't tell you it is on November 13th. But hopefully I can tell you very soon. Okay? Good. Let's take a listen to the former and future president.
4 years ago, we had the strongest, safest, and most secure border in U.S. history with the lowest level of illegal immigration ever achieved. 4 years ago, put up the chart. Go ahead, put it up. My favorite chart. That was the lowest. That was the day I left office. We did great in 2016. We got millions more votes in 2020.
Oh, my God, he left office, but I thought he was a dictator.
This is bigger than anything.
Wow.
This is going to be the biggest.
That's weird.
And most important election ever. It's going to be the biggest political event, I believe, in our country's history. We have to win. And we don't need it for the big political event. We need it to save our country. When Kamala came in, she deliberately dismantled our border and threw open the gates. She threw them open. The gates to an invasion of criminal migrants from prisons and jails, from insane asylums and mental institutions, from all over the world, from Venezuela to the Congo in Africa. A lot of people coming out of the Congo. Not just South America. They're coming from 181 countries as of yesterday, right? And we're a dumping ground. We're like a garbage can for the world. That's what's happened. That's what's happened to our, we're like a garbage can. You know, it's the first time I've ever said that. And every time I come up and talk about what they've done to a country, I get angrier and angrier. First time I've ever said garbage can, but you know what? It's a very accurate description. Meanwhile, she cruelly forced our border agents to help facilitate her wicked betrayal of America. And by the way, the Border Patrol last week gave us their complete and total endorsement, and they said she is the worst. I want to thank them. And they, at the same time, they said she is so bad, she's the worst, you can't have her. And they don't want to do that. It's probably not easy for them to do that. But you know what? They said she's horrible. She was the border czar, and she never made one phone call. Not only didn't she come to the border, she never made a phone call. And now, a few months ago, when she was getting killed, both of them, him and her, they were getting killed. They made it a little bit tougher, but they forgot to stop the airplanes going overhead. We said, how come those planes are still flying? Hundreds of thousands of people flown into our country, landing in our beautiful Midwest and other places, and they're devastated. You know what's happening to Springfield, Ohio, and Aurora, and Colorado. What they're doing to our country, we're joined today by the former senior Border Patrol chief of the San Diego sector, Aaron Heitke, an eyewitness to one of the most horrific scandals in American history carried out by Kamala. Well, she was appointed by this guy because he has to go to sleep every night at 4 o'clock. And she was appointed by him, and therefore she was the border czar, but she doesn't want to be called, so who cares what she is? She was appointed to take care of our border. We had the worst border, and now, and by the way, she also destroyed San Francisco, one of the greatest cities in the world, 15, 16 years ago. In California, when she was attorney general, a disaster between her and Gavin Newsom. He's the worst. But it's deadly. What they've done is deadly. The open border policy is a disaster. Aaron, please come up and say a few words. Border Patrol.
Seen anything worse than the last 4 years that I've seen under the current administration. I had the pleasure of working for President Trump, and his things were never better. I had the misfortune of spending the last 4 years watching our border be overrun. It's been nonstop. The agents' morale has been destroyed. It's been very difficult to watch. I testified in front of the Senate recently to get the word out. The public doesn't know. This administration has continued to say there's no threat at the border. We have a continuous threat, a serious threat at the border that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Aaron. And that's heartfelt, too. That's heartfelt. He just wants it to be straightened out, along with one of the incredible people. Getting their endorsement was my great honor. But it says something. And we had unanimous, thousands of people, unanimous. Who could ever get that? Because she's so bad. She's so bad. I watched last night. I don't watch CNN often. It's fake news. But I watched last night. Oh, there they go. Oops, their camera just went off. Last night, she did a town hall. Honestly, it was pathetic. It was pathetic. There's never been anything like that. We can't let it happen. We can't. That's why you have to get everyone saying how well we're doing. You still get out the people that haven't voted, get out and vote. We can't take a chance. We can't take a chance on this disaster continuing because we won't have a country left if it does. The four-year-long nightmare that Kamala Harris has forced your men to endure, your men, your women, your children, it's a nightmare for the whole planet. You want to know the truth, because we represent so much. We represent the American dream. The whole world is watching us, and they see these people that don't deserve to be in any position of authority. Remember, he got, whether you like him or not, I'm not a fan of his. Did you see last night? He blew it. He said, lock him up. He said, lock him up last night. He's not allowed to say that. He's such a stupid guy. Such a stupid fool. He's such a guy. What a... But they actually... Remember this. This was the... They took it away from them. They did something that's never happened. You know, you can use different words, but they just took away the presidency of the United States, and they wanted to be politically correct. They gave it to her. And she was last. She was the first one out, and she came in out of the top 13 contenders. She came in last, and they gave her the... She had no votes. She got 14 million, whether you like this guy or not, and not too many people are thrilled. And, you know, if you remember, we had a debate, and he didn't do great in the debate, but you know what? That's what happens. And he went down, and he was not doing great, but you got to let him ride it out, right? Instead, they took him out. They said, you're coming out. We're not going to let you. They tell this to the president. This is crazy Nancy. She's crazy as a bed bug, that one. Now, she's a nut job. Who's crooked
as
hell?
She's a vampire. She's a vampire.
She started off with nothing. 2 weeks ago, a company that was going to be investigated the following day, she had a lot of stock in the company. She sold the stock the day before they announced the investigation of the company. That's crazy Nancy. No, I think she's immune from investigation. Can you believe? I think she's immune. But not a good person. So when I win on November 5th, the migrate, and remember this, we're going to win. I think we're going to win maybe bigger than anyone understands. And when I win on November 5th, and it's not me, we win. We're going to win. When we win on November 5th, the migrant invasion ends and the restoration of our country begins. We're going to restore our country. One of the deadliest and most vicious migrant gangs that Kamala has imported into our country. Essentially, she said, open borders. When you say open borders, and then they said, we're going to give you health care, education, we're going to give... They're forced to come up, right? Sheriff, you look good, handsome guy. But they come in. It's like a magnet. They come in. They're promised everything. In New York, they get hotel rooms, luxury hotel rooms, and our veterans are forced to sleep on the streets. Think of it. But as a savage Venezuela prison gang formed in the prison, Tren de Aragua, that is taking over apartment complexes and unleashing a violent terror spree. This is in that case in Colorado. And the governor, who's a radical left Democrat, is petrified of the situation. He doesn't know what to do. Replace him. I think we replace him. I hope Colorado, you know, Colorado with the governor, this weak guy, Colorado was the one that tried to get Trump. I'm leading every candidate, including the Democrats, on the ballot. And they put in a petition to have me removed from the ballot. And then they say, think of it. They didn't get very far, but this guy tried that. So, and then they say, I'm a threat to democracy. I'm a threat. No, they're a threat. But they even are taking over parts of Times Square. They're all over the place now, and they have weapons like very few people have. So let's take a look.
Open borders and
right, you know, let me jump out of this. I'm going to jump out of this only because I have a guest coming up at 6 o'clock, and I don't want to bail on him. And, you know, this could go till the end of the show. There's a couple other things I need to get to as well with you in the next hour. Some more reaction coming out of the town hall debate from – or debate. I mean, you know, Kamala Harris's town hall last night. I want to get into with you as well. Plus, what is going on – with Pennsylvania and voting. We'll try to talk about that a little bit. My buddy Jeff Bartos is going to join me next. And I really have to say, you know, as we continue looking at this election and we're into the closing arguments of the election, the question for you is going to be this, all right? Which closing argument is better? Kamala's closing argument, which says Trump meanie pants, or Trump's closing argument, which says we're going to fix the border, we're going to end inflation, and we're going to make America great again. They broke it. We'll fix it. Versus Trump meanie pants. Which one do you think's better? Our fourth and final hour, straight ahead.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.